You're listening to Pastor Stephen G. Lightfoot's podcast, Sermons and Homilies by the Reverend Stephen G. Lightfoot. Pastor Stephen is an ordained elder in the Global Methodist Church and serves as senior pastor to First Methodist Church Splendora and Shepherd Methodist Church in Southeast Texas. Here is today's episode. Our epistle this morning comes to us from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Hear what Paul writes to the church in Ephesus. "And you were dead in your offenses and sins in which you previously walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all previously lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our wrongdoings, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the boundless riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we could walk in them." And so as we are now in the fourth Sunday in this Lenten journey, as we walk step by step with Jesus to the crucifixion, as we examine our lives and we pick up our own crosses to carry alongside our Savior Jesus, it's time for us to ensure that every last brick of the wall that has been built up in our lives between us and God, it's time for us to make sure that those bricks have been torn down. See, through the whole of our lives thus far, we have had time in our human condition to become quite skilled at building walls between our potential life of holiness, righteousness, goodness, and our fallen and broken lives in the world. We've become skilled masons. We build that wall with unrepentant sin. Each and every sin, each and every trespass, each and every unchristlike action, thought, deed, a brick in the wall that separates us from a holy and just God. All in all, we're just another brick in the wall. The wall of sin that divides us from God and his purposes in our lives. We let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell us how to live. Isn't that the way we are? The Message version puts it like this: you filled your lungs with polluted unbelief and then exhaled disobedience. That's an image, isn't it? We all did it. All of us doing what we felt like doing, when we felt like doing it, all of us in the same boat. It's a wonder God didn't lose his temper and do away with the whole lot of us. Paul says here in his letter to the Ephesians, Christ is calling us He's calling us to allow him to tear down the wall of sin in our lives. God, instead of doing away with all of us, instead, immense in mercy and with this incredible love for each of us, he embraced us where we are, and he took our sin-dead lives and he made us alive in Christ. And he did all of this on his own, no help from you or me, didn't need our help. And then he picked us up and he set us down in the highest heaven in company with Jesus, our Savior, our Messiah. He did that. And because of the cross of Christ, God now has each of us exactly where he wants us. I don't know, but I think there's somebody that needs to know that God has each of us exactly where he wants us. Turn to your neighbor and say, God has me where he wants me. Every single one of us is exactly, no matter where we are, what our situation is, what our circumstance is, no matter where we are, even if no one on earth knows where we are, God has you where he wants you this morning. When God lifted Jesus up onto the cross, he lifted us up also, taking our sins and placing them upon Jesus. Jesus took away our sins and tore down the sin wall brick by brick until not one brick was left standing upon another. The sin wall is torn down. Thank you, Jesus. And so Paul tells us here in this letter, now God has us where he wants us with all the time in this world and the next to shower grace and kindness upon us in Christ Jesus. No matter where we are, God wants to shower us with grace, mercy, and kindness. See, saving is all his idea. Saving is all his work. All we do is trust him enough to let him do it. It's God's gift from start to finish. We don't play the major role. If we did, we'd probably go around bragging that we'd done the whole thing. No, we neither make nor save ourselves. God does both the making and the saving. He creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work that he does. Not to invent our own work, not to follow our agenda, not to specialize in our project. No, he wants us to go alongside him and do the good work he's already gotten ready for us to do. And by the way, it's work that we had better be doing as the church. So from all this, we surmise that it takes a personal responsibility on those of us who have been saved by Christ, a responsibility to do the work that he has purposed for us to do. Everybody say, what work is that, Pastor? That's a wonderful question. The work of the church. The work of the church. The work of knowing God and making God known. The work of spreading the gospel message far and wide to every man, every woman, every child. The work of living a life of holiness, not in our own strength, but in his strength. The work of loving God and loving our neighbor. The work of serving God, serving others, caring for one another, holding one another up in love, the work of practicing the spiritual disciplines. Where have we heard those before? The work of attending to the ordinances of God and living into the calling God has purposed for your life as a minister of the faith, as the church, as the body of Christ moving through the world. We have a responsibility. Because you can see there's much work to be done in the world, isn't there? Many are not ready to receive the Christ who is surely returning. Some who are not ready might even be in our own families, in our own circle of friends, in our daily lives. When the trumpet sounds and those who are in Christ are caught up together in the clouds to meet him in the air and be with the Lord forever, as 1 Thessalonians 4 tells us, we want all of those we care about to be with us together in the clouds, do we not? We want no one to be left behind. Yes, there is still much work to be done in the world, but the time is short. As Scripture says, day is breaking and the night is far gone. In other words, time is running out. We are rapidly burning daylight. And so it's time to get everybody on board the ark of Christ. It starts with an understanding that no one climbs over the sin wall by their own agility. No one can swing a big enough hammer to knock the sin wall down by their own strength. And so we have to journey to the cross with Jesus, acknowledging that he is the only one who is able to tear down the sin wall. We have to walk this journey with him. We have to walk and we have to watch and we have to pray until the work is finished in our own lives. Until the work of our own personal cross is done. Because the work of Jesus is finished. He said so from the cross. Sin and death are defeated. The sin wall is nothing but dust and rubble at the base of the cross of Jesus. Thanks be to God. We have to claim it for our own experience. I know it's been a long journey. We're not quite there yet. We still have to climb the hill to Calvary. We still have to carry our own crosses alongside Jesus. We still have some personal bricks to pulverize into dust. Do we not? But on this coming Good Friday, Jesus will receive the nails. The nails that were designed to defeat him, nails that ultimately will drive the last nail into the heart of the evil one and end sin and death once and for all. The fallen and broken world in which we are moving as the church is not going to prevail. And I know there are some days when we get up and it seems as though the world is winning. There's some days we get up and even as a Christ follower with our faith firmly planted in Jesus Christ, sometimes the world presses in on us and we just shake our heads and say, why, God, do we have to endure? If the work's finished, Lord, why am I still wallowing in the dirt? Why am I still struggling to get over the sin wall? Why, Father, is this necessary? And the answer is that sometimes our struggles allow us to persevere. And perseverance leads to hope. And as Paul writes in Scripture, and hope does not disappoint. No matter what the world throws at us, the hope of Jesus Christ always conquers the world. And so, when the clock says that it's 8, but it feels like 7. And we're not quite sure that we want to get up and get on with the mission and ministry that God has for us. We have to lean back on the hope and realize that the freedom we gain from being obedient to Jesus Christ and to trusting God as we move through the world as the church is our strength. And so we don't have to rely on internal fortitude, we can rely on the Holy Spirit that dwells within. In our weakness, we are made strong through Christ who strengthens us. And so I encourage you this morning to hold on to those truths that you find in God's Word. Because when words fail us in the struggles, God's Word never does. When we can't find the words to pray, the utterances and moanings of the Holy Spirit take over and pray what our heart's desire is, even when we don't know our own heart. Lenten season is a tough season. Because it forces us to look inward, and sometimes the inward is not so pretty. Sometimes the inward is wrought with pain and memories and regrets. But even those things are bricks in the sin wall that have been torn down by Jesus. And so even when the weight of the world is pressing in on you, I encourage you to turn to Him, abide in Him, pray to Him, spend time with Him. He's the finder of all things lost. Our lost hope is found in Him. Anything that we perceive as having lost, misplaced, anything that we perceive we don't have enough of, He is all of that for us. Finder of lost souls, of lost people. He finds things. I think I'm going to leave it there and just encourage you to, when it's time for reflection and response, to come up and relinquish those things that are causing you a heaviness of heart, those things that are stumbling blocks in your path. Put those at the base of the cross and allow Christ and his work on the cross to just pulverize those bricks into dust. You don't have to carry that load anymore. When he said it is finished, he meant it. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Come back again next week for a new message. And until then, may God bless you and keep you.